Good evening and welcome to Israeli News Live. This is Yana Ben-Nun and I am in studio today with Deborah Tavares. Now, you know that Deborah is in the middle of California fires. We have posted a video, asked for a prayer for her and her family and her neighbors and her friends, and of course for all people that live in California. So welcome, Deborah. How are you doing?
Well, Yana, I am in a little bit of exhaustion mode because we have been, Deborah Tavares with StopTheCrime.net, and I would ask everybody that's listening, please subscribe to our YouTube channel on StopTheCrime.net. Be sure to click the bell notification so you will be notified whenever we post a new video. And I want to thank you, Yana, so much for having me today, Tuesday, August the 25th, 2020, to give an update. I first of all want to acknowledge the prayers, all the prayers that people have been certainly praying for my family and others in California. I would offer that we say prayers for everyone in this country, in fact, worldwide, because of the exacerbation of directed energy weapons and weather warfare worldwide. As we know here in California, where I am, 60 miles north of the Golden Gate Bridge in Sonoma County, we have been facing one of the larger wildfires, that many of which were started by dry lightning strikes. Again, those are weapons systems. And this all started back on August the 15th. And fire season for California has now kicked in to high gear sooner than ever before. This is unprecedented, historic levels of fires in California right now. We have over 535 fires burning in the state right now. Of course, that's as of today, while many of the fires were merged together. So there were more fires originally. We have to acknowledge the fact that the perpetrators will determine the cause of these fires, because they were started by those that have the energy weapons and the systems to start the fires. I would reference some of my prior videos, one in particular called Plan to Burn Up Northern California that I discussed back in 2015. Rothschild is embedded in this criminality. It's really not criminal, because we are the enemy, and the structure is not set up on our behalf. But having that been said, I want to go over more of the statistics here where I am right now and then tell you what it was like for me and my family. And so we have to understand that it's all conflicted chaos, and it's a lack of critical thinking. People are not thinking, largely because they can't. They're believing the propaganda of the newspapers and of the radios, and you need to understand they are all contrived to keep you in an illusion of reality that does not exist. So I'm going to just read some of the headlines in my local papers so you'll know the enormity of the psychological warfare against the people in an area that we have been burned out for three consecutive years. Many thousands and thousands of homes have been lost. Lives have been lost. We already have deaths in these combined fires that are raging right now. And so this is psychological warfare as much as it is actual burning up of properties, thousands of homes, again, thousands of homes. But here's some of the headlines. The fire crews are stretched thin. They don't have enough resources. They go on to talk about how they're going to have to set up more aerial attacks. And, of course, we have been told because of the heavy smoke, they can't fly the larger fixed-wing airplanes into the fire zones because they can't see. But I will tell you, about 4 days ago, we did see a massive aerial assault on the Wall Bridge Fire. That's the fire nearest us. This would be a fire 60 miles north of the Golden Gate Bridge, very much in the proximity of Bohemian Grove. So far, I'm not hearing that Bohemian Grove has been singed by any fire at all, but I know many areas in its proximity have. I know a number of people, many people have been evacuated from that area, and I know a number of structures have been already lost in that area alone. I'm only talking about the Wall Bridge fire. Now, family members were forced or were told to evacuate. I will tell you, lessons learned, that we certainly are on our own. We do not have a government that represents us in the agencies such as Cal Fire here in California. If you type in Cal Fire on your search line and climate action plans, you will find that Cal Fire subscribes to climate action plans, which means getting people out of the Wildland Urban Interface, which is the WUI, W-U-I, Wildlands Urban Interface. That means the rural country areas. Your fire departments are involved in implementing those policies. People do not understand. This is double speak. They are telling us they're here to help us, and yet they espouse plans and policies that are contrary to what we're being told they're doing. They go on in some of the front pages. They talk about how lightning threats loom over the county. We were told just 2 days ago that we were going to have a repeat of dry lightning strikes. Here we are in the middle of massive burning. We're taking shifts and patrols on our property with hoses stretched everywhere. So in the event of continued embers raining down upon us, we can put out spot fires. And the enormity and the stress of that has really taken a toll. We're exhausted. And I can only say that right now I'm still feeling exhausted and realizing the enormity of the assault upon us here in California, but elsewhere as well. I look at the storms coming in on New Orleans right now. They're going to have storm surge. Those are all weaponized capabilities of what they do along the coastlines. For those of you that have not listened to our YouTube, Coastlines Under Attack, I would recommend that you do so. Coastlines Under Attack. You will find that every branch of all the military is engaged in assaulting all of us. We have to understand, before I continue with the fire conversation, is that all politics, right versus left, is the entertainment division of our overlords. Again, all politics, right versus left, is the entertainment division and also of the New World Order. It is just a game. It's just a game. And I've talked about that many, many times on prior shows, that we do not have a government that we vote for. It is a political structure set up of massive corporate agencies that are put in place to manage every move we make and putting forth policies that are destroying all of us. So I mentioned to you that Cal Fire, who is our agency here, supports UN Agenda 25, 2020, whatever agendas United Nations, they support the reduction of people living in and outside the city growth boundaries. Those policies are genocide policies, and our fire agency supports it. Again, you can type in your fire agency on your search line and type in climate action plans. They will support the goals of those plans. Same thing with the agricultural departments. Here in our county, Farm Bureau discussed this morning how the cattle on some of the larger grazing areas where the grass is burnt cannot be relocated because some of the ranchers have too many cattle. And they're going to be allowed to go in and feed the cattle, but they're going to have to also drop hay for them as well because they're in fire-restricted zones. And the Farm Bureau supports not allowing beef and grazing in the Wildlands Urban Interface. So you need to understand the doublespeak that's within our agencies that control all departments. Again, the perpetrators are determining the actions that we are consequences of. Also, fish and game throughout the United States is also behind the implementation of these policies, as is every agency, the USGS, you name it, every single agency. They're all pushing forth these policies of massive reduction of resources, only enough resources for our vital needs. And when you look at vital needs, that is minimizing our ability to survive. We're also now being told that visitors that come to Santa Cruz, that's south of San Francisco, and also in other counties too, due to the high hotel occupancy due to evacuees, that visitors are being discouraged in coming to these areas of the fire zone. They don't have enough hotel rooms for visitors. Also, what we have discovered is that through the COVID monies that the cities are receiving, our city is buying hotels, and they are moving homeless people into these hotels. We found out that the hotels are receiving $6,000 per hotel room per month through these COVID monies. This is asset stripping. This is obviously misappropriation of funds, because that is what is misappropriation of everything. So what we faced here is right now the fire is on the floor of an old oak redwood stand. It's called Old Grove Redwoods. And one of the oldest trees is called Colonel Armstrong, and it's over 1,400 years old, and it is being threatened by the Wallbridge fire along with other homes in this area as well. We have friends that we know that have lost homes. Matt, whom I've done many videos with, again, go to stopthecrime.net to our YouTube video channel and take a look at some of the videos where I have had conversations with Matt, a retired fire captain. He's been up there single-handedly fighting to suppress the flames that are unmanaged, because they're telling us we don't have enough firefighting resources and equipment. And just a few days ago, they were able to requisition more assistance here. The excuse for that is that there are so many fires, they just could not have contemplated the amount of fire suppression that would be needed. Of course, we also know that over the many years, they've had incremental elimination of volunteer fire facilities and fire agencies in the WUI, in the Wildlands Urban Interface. They've been taking out the volunteer firehouses. They've been telling us that many of these fire stations are not earthquake retrofitted, therefore they have to be eliminated, and there's no money to rebuild them. So we are being hit beyond our ability and our imagination. So let me talk more about what is happening here. We have millions of acres that are now on fire and have been burned. The count for the loss of homes will not be determined or cannot be determined yet, because we are in a fluid, active war zone right now. And one of the fires is called the Lightning Complex Fire, because, again, lightning initiated many of these fires, and lightning is the use of directed energy weapons. We know that. We have, again, as I've said, we've had some deaths so far. We don't know how many people have died from the result of dry lightning strikes. Again, this is a fluid crime scene that we're on and in right now. We are victims of war. Businesses that have managed to open prior to the fires, such as some of the restaurants that were required by our health officer here, who works for the Center for Disease Control, that is listed on Dun & Bradstreet as a for-profit business in the business of creating vaccines, has announced that we have hazardous toxic air and has ordered a health advisory to stay indoors. So the restaurants that have been managing to survive because they were told they had to set up their tables out on the sidewalk and in the streets and serve outside as cars drive 2 feet away from tables where people are dining, can now not serve outside because of the air quality being so dangerous. Now, you have to remember, when they tell us here that we have a red flag fire warning, what that means in their definition is low humidity, heat, more heat, higher temperatures, and wind. But they neglect to tell you that we are heavily chemtrailed prior, during, and after these fires. We have been heavily chemtrailed. The air is extremely electromagnetized right now. Many people are feeling headachy because there is extreme frequency, as well as itching, some of the things that I've been observing friends of mine saying that they feel, itchiness because of increased frequency. Also, we know that there was a national disaster declaration, and monies will be flowing into these areas that all of you listening will be paying for. Everyone in the United States will be paying to offset the cost of these deliberate assaults and attacks. This is a further way to asset strip and cause bankruptcy of this country. That's all part of what the Rockefeller Foundation document of 2010 said. This would be global bankruptcy. Now we're seeing that climate change, aka weather warfare and technologies, is going to exceed the damage of COVID. We're also being told here in Northern California that because of the fires, we're going to have more COVID cases. And that was a warning by our health officer here in our newspaper today. We're being told because of evacuation conditions and the fact that many people cannot afford to go into hotels as their homes are burning, are moving in with family and or friends, and that's going to accelerate the COVID. So what we're looking at here is a fast restriction of travel here in California. This is going to be their gateway opportunity to say, because of our response to these fires and our gathering together to comfort one another and to house displaced people, that now we've accelerated the spread of COVID. They're telling us that smoke is going to accelerate the spread of COVID. What they're telling us about that is that's causing lung inflammation, and that's going to weaken people's immune system, and they're going to get COVID. Now, Yana, you and I know the truth about COVID. In fact, you posted a video that I would recommend everybody take a look at. The original video was taken down, and if you just type in, let's see.
Rise Up Children of God on YouTube, you mean?
Yes. Say that one more time.
Yeah, it is my YouTube channel, just my side YouTube channel called Rise Up Children of God. We posted a video today of Italian doctor, and I apologize, I couldn't memorize his name, but I had his name even. But they have taken his video down, and they gave me a warning and with a threat that it will take my YouTube channel down if I do that again. So, but yes, we posted a video. It was an Italian doctor warning of the upcoming vaccines and what they mean. And he warned people, his own Italian people, and he said, don't take the vaccine. They are meant
for the test. Don't even get tested.
Right. He said, don't even get tested, because once you get tested, they will test your children in school. He said 90% of people will be positive. Are they going to do tests two or three times? They're going to keep doing it over until you will be positive. And then they will come to the family and test the entire family. And then, of course, vaccines. He said that vaccines is not for any COVID-19. He said they're meant for depopulation. And he was quoting 80% of people will be depopulated.
That's right. In fact, everyone that is hearing what Yana is saying right now, you can also just type in YouTube, Rise Up Children. Type that in YouTube and you will hear Yana reading what this Italian doctor said. Now, again, they took that video down of the one that the doctor sent out, but you can get a couple of minutes of it as Yana is reading that to you. One other certain verification of what the vaccines are intended to do, massive depopulation. Again, Yana, he said over 80% of the population is intended to die.
Ma questo documento che io vi sto per leggere dovete non solo diffonderlo, ma prenderne atto. I media, la televisione, la politica non vi dice ciò che sto per leggervi. Italiani, attenzione. Covid-19 significa certificato di identificazione della vaccinazione con intelligenza artificiale. E 19 è l'anno in cui è stato creato. Covid-19 non è il nome del virus, attenzione, ma è il nome del piano internazionale per il controllo e la riduzione delle popolazioni, che si è sviluppato nel corso di decenni ed è stato lanciato nel 2020. Ciò che riattiva il virus è il terreno immunitario indebolito dalle vaccinazioni. Quello che intendono iniettarci sono i vaccini più terribili di tutti gli altri. È una vera discesa all'inferno con l'obiettivo di un massiccio spopolamento di oltre l'80% della popolazione. Non fare i test non sono affidabili, l'ho sempre detto e lo ribadisco, lo affermano i produttori del test. Nessuno dei test è in grado di rilevare il virus SARS-CoV-2, ma solo un'infinità di piccoli virus innocui o detriti cellulari che fanno naturalmente parte del nostro microbiota. Le persone testate appariranno sempre più positive nei test. Circa il 90%, e questo l'obiettivo, è per questo motivo che hanno iniziato i test con i bambini. L'11 maggio che nessuna televisione, nessun giornale, nessuna televisione, sia italiana che quelli di Berlusconi, hanno detto che in Francia sono stati imposti esami di massa in tutte le scuole, 700.000 ogni settimana. Nessuno purtroppo ha dato questa notizia. Quindi, una volta che tuo figlio è stato sottoposto a screening, si forzerà l'intera famiglia e i contatti immediati a essere sottoposti a screening. Attenzione italiani, ascoltatevi. Non ascoltate i ciarlatani, gli ignoranti che si rifiutano la verità. Vi ricordo che non siamo malati, siamo solo portatori sani. Avere il virus non significa che è malato, sei sano, stai bene. Ma appariranno, attenzione, positivi nei test. Difatti ripetono 2-3 volte i test a tutti i dipendenti delle strutture pubbliche, soprattutto sanitarie, ogni mese. Tutto ciò di cui hanno bisogno loro è questo. Fai credere che è malato. Essere positivi significa essere etichettati come dannosi. Attenzione italiani, ascoltatemi. Rifiutare il rilevamento è l'unica chiave per evitare di essere vaccinati. Una volta vaccinati saremo tutti malati, indeboliti e senz'altro andremo incontro alla morte. L'unica soluzione per salvare la nostra umanità, ma soprattutto per salvarci noi italiani, è far capire alle persone che non devono essere testate. Non mettetevi alla prova, non date loro ciò che manca, non cadete nella loro trappola. Io vi sto dicendo questo perché almeno non potete dire che non siete stati avvertiti. Covid-19 vuol dire programma di sterminio di massa. Non fare i test è l'unico modo per salvarsi. In televisione questi bastardi non lo dicono. I politici poi, il comportamento è totalmente ambivalente. Eppure il vice ministro della sanità è un medico. Collega, deve solo e soltanto vergognarsi. La maggior parte delle persone vaccinate cesseranno di esistere per la società. Non sarai in grado di viaggiare senza un vaccino. Non sarai in grado di andare al cinema e in futuro non potranno mai uscire di casa. Questo sta già accadendo in alcune città della Cina e la Spagna è il paese pilota di prova insieme all'Argentina e ai paesi latini. Tutto è già stato attivato in tutte le aziende e nei media per la vaccinazione di massa. Io preferirò la morte, ma non la vaccinazione. Vi saluto.
So here we are in the fires, and we're being told that that's going to accelerate and exacerbate COVID. And we know very much like what we see that has already happened in Australia. And I want to thank you, Yana, for sending me to this article. And I'm just going to quickly go over that right now and then get back into the fires here. First, I do want to say that my family right now is okay, although we are under thick smoke, which is also a weapon. If you go to my site, I recently posted a collage of videos that I've done over the years. Someone kindly put that together, and I posted it. I would recommend that all of you take a look at it. I cover some of the information that I have on a separate video about how smoke is also a weapon and how they're going to make businesses responsible and liable for protecting employees from smoke damage. And that video is extremely important. But going to this Australian article, Yana, it says Australia to deploy drones to photograph unmasked faces and drivers that are too far from home. And this came out on August the 21st of 2020. Of course, today is, I don't even remember what day it is. It's so crazy, but it's Tuesday, August the 25th
25th,
right now.
yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of 2020. So here's what is happening in Australia. This is coming to all countries worldwide. So Victoria, they're saying in Australia, Victoria State Police are preparing to use drones to catch people who break coronavirus lockdown regulations. So out of Melbourne, Australia, they're saying that they've reported that the Victoria Police are preparing again to use drones to catch people who show their faces in public uncovered by masks, to capture license plates of drivers who travel more than 3.1 miles away from their homes, and to make sure that children's skateboarding parks and playgrounds are empty. They do not want your children out playing. They're creating mental illness through this forced isolation. So they go on to say, that was my comment, they say these drones can fly to a height of 4.3 miles. So they can be 4.3 miles above you and take a license plate from 0.3 miles away. And the Victoria Police has asked the Australian Armed Forces for military drones. So these drones are a military operation. So don't think that that's not. It goes on to say that they're getting reports that in the warmer weather in Australia, there's periods where there's lots of people congregating in the beaches and in these populated areas. They say a drone provides the capability to actually provide eyes in the sky without deploying all those police in all the areas on the ground. So they're going to save resources and cost and not pay police officers and just use the drones. Now, we know many drones are rechargeable and can stay up indefinitely when they are being refueled with solar. So that's another thing I'm adding right now. But it goes on to say that Victoria is not the first place where police have used drones to ensure compliance with state coronavirus measures. They say there's a chilling video posted to Twitter in January by the Chinese government. Controlled Global Times, you might want to look at that, Global Times, showed an elderly lady in Inner Mongolia staring up in astonishment at a drone outfitted with a loudspeaker. A voice speaking through the drone shouted at her to go home to wash her hands, recording her reactions throughout the event. And in the United Kingdom, a police drone video was published in March to shame hikers in England's Park Peak District. And in March, the Financial Times reported that a California police department was also using drones to enforce the lockdown. So we need to understand, just as the Rockefeller Foundation document told us and what we covered in our prior videos on StopTheCrime.net on our video YouTube channel, that the pandemic is being used to justify massive increases in surveillance. And such increases that we would never have tolerated this without it being a COVID environment. So they say that... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Deborah, I just wanted to comment. If by now anyone out there thinks that COVID is actually real, that this wasn't just a hoax to psychological operation to forcefully transfer us to New World Order and surveil society and tyranny, then I don't know what to say, Deborah. For those people who cannot see the reality of what this is.
Well, sadly, Yana, you and I have discussed this before, that many people are already under mind control. Many people have already been programmed to what they believe in the media and the radio. That's been set up for years to captivate our minds and have people be predictively programmed. But the conclusion of this Australia document concludes by saying that in recent months, scientists have argued that people are less likely to become infected with the coronavirus outdoors. And currently in Britain, people are allowed to stay outdoors as long as they like. And both government and health authorities are now focusing on fighting obesity as a method of combating COVID-19-related illness. So I really would recommend that people listen to the interview, Yana, that you did with Sophia Smallstorm. For those of you, the first 20 minutes can be more detailed than many people can understand. But if you, you know, just understand that about the final half an hour is easier for people to understand, I would recommend that you go and listen to that. I posted it on my channel as well, Yana, So people can go to StopTheCrime.net and just go and take a look at that interview you did with Sophia Smallstorm. I want to talk about, again, more of what we face here in California as a result of the attacks with directed energy weapons, because this is going to be an increasing assault against all of us, not just with fires, but with floods. We're hearing now that the use and creation of atmospheric rivers, meaning collection of water overhead and then the dumping of massive amounts of rain, which they control. In fact, Yana, years ago, a woman that I spoke with often, Rosalind Peterson, who ran California Skywatch before she died of cancer, a little bit suspicious, she has a couple of videos up, and I would highly recommend that people that still are not aware of weather weapons, that you watch two videos. They're really a kindergarten now, at least for me. They're very well done. But what in the world are they spraying, and why in the world are they spraying? Again, two videos. What in the world are they spraying, and why in the world are they spraying? You will learn that a meteorologist by the name of Scott was delivering the weather in the state that he lived in, and he kept getting it wrong, and all his friends were kidding him about how off target he was saying what the weather was going to be, because he actually studied how the weather works. So he went outside to figure out why he's getting the forecast wrong all the time, and he discovered the use of geoengineering, which is the large-scale manipulation of the Earth's climate, and he discovered that. He also discovered that when it rains, they can literally pull back the water 4 feet before it hits the ground. 4 feet they can pull it back.
Mm.
So they're moving water all around. So when you're watering your lawn or your yard, they can literally cause that transvaporation to move around the country and become unbelievable water and weather events. And what they're saying is that flooding is going to be one of the major go-to weapon systems is flooding. So I want to go back now, because you're hearing me report to you when I'm in the scene and on the scene of an active crime.
Yes.
And we're being hammered here from the fires and the smoke. We are seeing road closures and police blocking road access. We know that there are looters, as there were many brought up in the 2017 fires from South San Francisco, in buses to loot. Remember, this is a war, and there are other aspects to this war than just using lasers or boots on the ground to start fires or pulsing the smart meters to start fires and explosions, directed energy weapons, all kinds of things. We're also experiencing cell towers that are burning down, and so communication is becoming more difficult in some of the fire zones. They were recently extremely concerned, and another way in which they terrorized the public, and here's what they were saying. One of our mountains here, Mount Jackson, here in Northern California, in the Wallbridge Fire area, that contains the vital communication devices that the county uses for police and fire communication directions, as well as our local radio station, that was under threat of being burned down. That would have eliminated the ability for fire and police and the radio to communicate. Mount Jackson. Mm-hmm. When I heard them discussing this on the radio, I was thinking, okay, that's going to be the next point of targeting. So far, they haven't taken down all that equipment, but it would not surprise any of us that know that this is a war, that would become what they would do, because what we're going to see across the country is massive inabilities to communicate. Your cell phones are not going to work as reliably as they have in the past. Lots of dropped calls, lots of texts that other people are not receiving. You may think you sent something, but you're going to have to verify it in multiple ways, because this is a way in which they're causing added chaos. So we're in just an unbelievable reality. Yana, I was explaining to you during the height of the fire that we were facing about 4 days ago, where we thought that we could lose our neighborhood. We were on a patrol, on watches, where we were prepared to put out embers that might fall. Now, we worked very hard for a very long time in our community to set up for the expectations of these kinds of weaponized events. All of you need to do that too. So if you're in a fire-prone area, you need to set up in advance if you're going to try to prevent your property from burning down, because the firefighters are spread too thin, they don't have the resources, and they're more concerned about evacuations and saving lives than they are property. That's why we are having such enormous housing losses, because they're not able to fight fires that they don't understand the causes. And when you realize that these are directed energy weapons and they're sending firefighters out that are working around the clock, these guys are exhausted, absolutely exhausted. We're being told every day on the radio how our first responders have worked for 4 and 5 days straight with little sleep. They can't return to their base camps easily because of the COVID social distancing requirements, and they are utterly exhausted. They're wearing out our first responders, good men and women, that are trying their best to save their communities, and they're exhausted, and they're intentionally doing this. We should have had many more assets than we had, despite the fact that we've had over 500 fires at one time. There should have been the resources and the assets, but they've incrementally reduced all of those assets. So, again, we're in a severe drought condition. Most of the western United States, from the Mississippi all the way to the Pacific coast, will be in a long-term drought condition. We can expect massive fires in these areas. They're telling us that the drought conditions will last for several decades. It's called a mega drought, and the definition is a drought that lasts for many, many decades. They're also telling us here that we must conserve water for firefighting purposes. Now, all of you need to go to our other website, primarywater.org, understand that water is a renewable. We are not running out of water. But they're going to tell us we are, and one of the reasons they won't be able to get water on some of the blazes, because we're running low. And we're hearing that now being amped up in our local media. They're also, again, bringing back the cash for grass. So if you take out your lawns or some of your various types of plant material around your home, they will pay you cash for it. Who's paying the cash? All of you are paying the cash to remove oxygen-supplying plants. Why? Because they're psyopsing you to the idea that you're running out of water, and you can't have a lawn. You can't have plants. So we have an urgency climate change order in effect, as most of you do as well. And what we're being told now, too, is in the fall, the fish in the rivers are going to die because there will be limited water flowing in the creeks and rivers here. And we're also being told that we're going to have massive contaminants in the groundwater supply because of all of the chemicals used to fight the fires and all of the debris. The fire debris that is going to be washing into the groundwater supplies. So another way to kill us is to contaminate the groundwater supplies, so that those of you that have the opportunity to drill for primary water, now is the time to go to stopthecrime.net and go to our video YouTube channel. We talk often and often about primary water. And again, you can also go to primarywater.org, take a look at some of the drilling methodologies to reach water that is not going to have you reliant upon municipal toxic water supplies. That's what's happening. We're told here, and we know that the Russian River that runs along Bohemia Grove is our main water source for Sonoma County and Marin, for those of you that are familiar with those counties, and that our main water source is being compromised because of the contaminants of the water and the fire debris flowing in. So they're telling us that we're going to have massive expense in reclamation of the land fires. And what is it like here for us? And what is it like being aware of what we know and being in the face of a weaponized warfare? You have to be prepared. If there's one thing I have learned and my family has learned, is we do, really do, have to pack a go bag. Now, what is that like to pack a go bag? When they tell you you might have to evacuate your home in 5 minutes because they might hit you with a directed energy weapon and your home is gone. But hopefully they don't. You can maintain some resistance against the flames, as many people are doing with sprinklers on their roofs, plugging up their downspouts so that the water is troughing in their gutters. Many things you can do as long as you have enough water supply. As long as when they turn the power out, you still have water because you are off grid. But you are not off grid by the methodology that sadly our solar companies have and solar contractors have been trained. Our solar contractors in this country have been trained to deploy solar systems now along with battery storage systems that are weapons, and I talk about that ad nauseum. So you need to certainly never use a lithium-ion battery as part of any backup. And in fact, the lithium-ion batteries are in your smart meters. They can pulse your smart meters and cause explosions. Type in your search bar, smart meters and house fires. You'll be stunned. Also, I want to alert, because I'm thinking about this right now, in the course of the thousands of rebuilds that will be underway after this fire subsides and people go through a year plus trying to get insurance funds to rebuild, the Department of Energy is recommending, they call it high-efficiency, low-E windows as replacements. When you type in low-E windows and fires, you find that those windows on the west side of your homes that have the afternoon sunlight literally are like magnifying glasses where they pulse out a beam and they can set your neighbor's house on fire depending on the position of that window. They have burned cars, neighbors' cars up that are parked on the street. They have started fires in people's backyards because this is not told to you by your window supply companies. The only place that we found out about this is the deck manufacturers. They are warning against these low-E windows because it causes their deck material to catch on fire. Also, patio chaise lounges and umbrellas can be caught on fire and start a fire in your area without you knowing. And this is the desired replacement of windows during rebuilds. The Department of Energy recommends this. The Department of Energy is part of the weaponized division of this country. Absolutely understand this. When we found out about these low-E windows, it was quite by accident. We knew someone who lost their home in the 2017 fires here and bought a replacement home right away. And about a few months after they moved in, they started to smell smoke. They're already traumatized because they had to flee their home at 1:30 in the morning with the flames lapping at their heels. They lost absolutely everything. And they relocated into a home with nothing. They had to buy all furniture. They lost all the photographs that they've ever had of their life. Everything was gone. And they smelled flames one day, and the backyard of this unsold model home right next to them was on fire. And that's when they discovered these low-E energy windows that cause fires. This person happened to have been my brother. So I want to tell you, the weapon systems being used on us in rebuild material, now they're going to be designing architectural layouts for homes that have COVID social distancing layout requirements in the homes. What that means to you right now is that many of you may live in homes that will not provide the required social distancing among family members. And then your families will be split up, and people that test positive, again, why the Italian doctor and Yana was talking about what he was saying, don't get tested. Yeah. Because then you can be relocated. Your family members can be relocated, and they will be. This is called destroying your connectivity. connectivity as human beings. We need that connectivity. So, Yana, yeah. I want to talk about what's also behind this as we're being distracted by all these events. Of course, we know that New Orleans is going to be hit. They're talking about the storm surge there as being unprecedented, historical. We're going to see all kinds of historical storms that never were seen before.
Yes. Deborah, they are wearing us out in every direction, and children, and us, the people. And one more time, I just want to make sure everybody here understands that they are blaming these events on natural disasters, okay? They're blaming it, just like Deborah said so many times, they're blaming it on climate change. Oh, the storm is forming, maybe it's too hot, it's climate change, the waters are too hot, too warm, then the fires start from the lightning and it's hot. No, these are artificially made events. These are weather weapons. Please understand, these are not natural events. Anyway, Deborah, you can continue. Also, I would like for you to speak about children in school in California. What's the report about children and these masks when you get to it?
Well, yes, this relates back to some information that we discussed on another interview about what was happening with the deployment of 5G in New York prior to the escalation of COVID there in New York. It is massively as a consequence of increased frequencies in the environment. And what we have noticed in many of the communities that are disenfranchised, that there have been trucks outside the closed schools that have been deploying 5G and other technologies. The kids that are now going back into school for on-site socially distance learning are becoming quite ill. There are a number of schools that have reported dozens of children that were, say, for example, in a gymnasium that became ill and suffered all kinds of nosebleeds, inability. Actually, many fainted. These are all symptoms of frequency assaults and attacks. And we've talked about that often on prior shows, but I would recommend that everyone go to stopthecrime.net, type in the search bar, microwave radiation frequency symptoms, and you'll find that part of all of this is jamming our cellular communication. And it's far more serious than that. They're affecting the heart rhythm, our sleep patterns, increasing paranoia and hallucinations and illusions and drowsiness and depression, suicidal feelings, visual distortion, confusion. We can't relax. We're feeling unwell. We're feeling unhappy. They're creating anger and manic behavior and problems with movement and flashes and loss of appetite, small seizures. They're talking about disturbed orientation. We've been noticing many people here, Yana, that have been complaining about not being able to feel they have a solid footing when they're walking and feeling like they're just sort of colliding into walls and things, and they don't understand it. Well, it is the increased frequencies that are now being deployed within our communities. Again, there was a rapid requirement to deploy 5G technology in the United States by the current CEO of USA Inc., and I'm talking about Trump.
Yes. You said it right, current CEO of a dying corporation. Yeah.
And so they're talking about seizures, auditory dysfunctions, visual hallucinations, inability to make decisions, sensory problems, early onset Alzheimer's. That's becoming an enormous problem here in the United States and elsewhere. Confusion, flashing lights and flickering, hyperactivity, and again, anxiety, disturbance, reaction time is slowed down, unable to make decisions. This is what is being intentionally done to each and every single one of us. Even if you put aside all the weather weapon assaults, we're being attacked by not only cell phone towers and our cell phones and the smart meters and all the wireless devices in our homes, all the Wi-Fi hotspots now being set up for distance learning for our kids. The telecom industry is giving away wireless laptops to children in disadvantaged communities to make it fair for their distance learning while they kill them with frequencies. It's a silent weapon system of death. Mm-hmm. And when you understand the massive assaults of the electronic assaults on us with all of the other weather weapons, the enormity of what we face to survive is unimaginable. Most people can't imagine the enormity of what we are being faced with.
Yes.
And again, I'm here in the burn zone. I'm on the scene of a current, fluid, active crime scene, and it is still ongoing. They're telling us that the Wallbridge fire is going to take weeks to put out. Weeks. Now, they've dumped accelerant on everything for years, so naturally it's going to continue to spread and burn. And again, much of these fires are in very rugged, steep terrain, and it's going to take weeks. So we're going to be under a snow plume here. Some of the things that we recommend people getting before the fires get to your community and while there is still ability to get some of these items, because supply chains for most everything are going to be disrupted. You're not going to be able to get life-saving devices, but we would certainly recommend that everybody get air filters and be certain to order a number of additional air filters so that you can replace them. Some of these devices are Wi-Fi capable. You do not want to turn on the Wi-Fi capability in these things. And you want to hardwire your homes, eliminate all the wireless that you can. Certainly never use your cell phones as an alarm or keep them in the room where you sleep. Also, do not sleep on wire box spring mattresses, because the dirty electricity that comes through the walls of your homes literally travel through the air, and they go into the box spring mattresses, your metal headboards, and you're being hit with additional frequencies while you sleep at night. And along with the fact that they are turning up the cell phone towers at night, generally between 2 and 4 or 5 in the morning, and people will notice that they're getting up at that regular time. Many people have talked about this for quite some time. We've been discussing this for a long while. So they're amping up frequencies. They can increase frequencies on specific houses. They can increase frequencies in specific rooms that they've already set up for these wireless assaults. We've known for years that there have been disguised CIA janitorial services that go into schools, looking like janitorial services, and they're going into the crawl spaces above some of the best teachers in the schools and killing them slowly, giving them cancer and causing heart attacks, because they're setting up weapon systems in those crawl spaces that are attacking specific rooms and specific teachers. So understand the enormity of what we face. Protect everybody as best you can. Understand this is a war. Get together with like-minded people. If they don't understand, don't spend much time with them, because sadly we don't have much time. And what we recommend is that each person that understands, do what you need to do if you want to survive. Don't. We were told to occupy. That is what we were told to do. God does not want us to die for lack of knowledge. This is our opportunity to learn.
I agree, Deborah.
Juliana, I don't look as extinction as an option.
Yes, Deborah, you know, like you said, Jesus said, occupy until I come. So
yes.
That doesn't sound like inactivity, does it? So we have to use our intelligence and get knowledge also, know how enemy works. And you are providing a lot of information, and we so tremendously appreciate it, that even in the midst of tragedies that are happening Right in front of you, you are willing and capable to come and explain to us these things. We are very thankful, and I know a lot of listeners are very thankful, Deborah.
Well, I appreciate hearing that, Yana, but most importantly, I just want people to understand the truth, because that is what we need to understand, is the truth. And what I want to say now is part of the enormity of the distraction of the attacks on us by weather weapons, because behind all of these attacks and the dismantlement of our finances, the asset stripping, the forced relocation, many people are going to become climate refugees here in the United States. They're going to be living on the streets. Then they're going to be forced to relocate by the conditions of the county's ability to pay and asset strip everyone else in this country. So what I want everybody to understand is these plans are adopted for you by your presumed local city officials and government agencies. They work pushing forward the policies of the United Nations and UN Agenda 21 policies and sustainable development. Sustainable does not mean sustainable. Sustainable development means that you reduce your use of all energy systems and that you revert to the year 1750. Now, let me say that again. They're saying that in the mid-1700s is where we have to be. That's pre-industrialization levels. They're saying that we must reduce our use of greenhouse gas emissions. We must reduce that to pre-industrialization levels. Now, let me go over this, because this is hiding in plain sight in every community that your cities have adopted. And this is a worldwide climate plan. They call it the Climate Action Plan. Now the Climate Action Plan is being replaced by the Climate Emergency Declarations. And if you type in the name of your town and Climate Emergency Declarations, you will soon understand that cities all over the country and the world are fast tracking the destruction of our livelihoods, pulling the rug out of everything we've ever known because of the urgency around the climate emergency crisis. And it's all being driven by policies of which most people are unaware. They talk about an organization called the Climate Mobilization, which urges a level of World War II scale efforts to reverse the effects of global warming and cut emissions back to pre-industrialization levels. World War II scale efforts, Jana.
Yeah, all based on hoax.
I mean, I hope people are understanding what I'm saying here, because what has happened is this is a trend now that is being utilized now in cities throughout the United States. It's already been adopted in many other cities overseas, including Australia, and it's a way in which to hold the cities that have already declared climate emergencies accountable for their ambitious climate goals. And some of these goals, so that everyone can understand, is eliminating the use of fossil fuels. Now, they call them fossil fuels, but I hope that all of you know that our petroleum never did come from fossils or dead dinosaurs. Petroleum is a renewable, just like water. So when they base their documents on fossil fuels, right away, they're building up from disinformation that was a Rockefeller dream.
Right.
And you can go and find lots of YouTubes about the deception of fossil fuel and how Rockefeller was able to amass the fortunes that are now being used to literally depopulate over 80% of the world's population. But we have to understand that in their books, everything contributes to climate change. How we drive, how we grow our food, how we design our buildings, how many children we have, what we buy, where we live, how much utilities we use, Everything contributes to climate change. And years back, Yana, I found on the U.S. Department of Energy website something profound. And it relates to what people are hearing now, because we're hearing that we have to reduce our energy. And what's important is what this said back on that U.S. Department of Energy website under energy efficiency and renewable energy. And it was an 83-page document that we found. And it talks about the real goal of energy use. They're aiming for zero. And what was important to note in that document is that the ultimate goal is not to use energy. The most efficient energy is energy we don't generate. They're saying that then, in this document, that it was not a technology, that it was a behavioral modification, or learning to live in a new reality. Well, I would say living in the year 1750 would be a very new reality for every one of us.
I think so. Yeah. And you know, Deborah, let me just tell you something, which is my memory from childhood. I lived in communist country. We were under totalitarian regime. And they did not have technology as they have now, of course. But we were surveilled, okay? But I remember that that was very important to the communists that led our country, that we don't use energy. I remember as a little girl, we had warm water only twice a week, Deborah, only Wednesday and Saturday. And even that, only in the evening hours between 4 and 10 p.m. Okay, so there was, I took many cloth baths, you know, like just wipe your body with a cloth, I remember. And then we had days when we had no water at all. Or they would turn our electricity down regularly for several hours a week. Or if they didn't want us to use water, they suddenly would come out through the faucet brown water, so we can't use it. So we turn it off, are afraid of it, and we can't use it. Just brown, dirty water. So I remember that. So,
well, I want to tell you, that is what we saw when we went to Cuba. Lou and I went to Cuba when we could still travel. Now traveling is no longer a possibility, which really saddens me. But when we went to Cuba, the same thing, Yana. The water was only turned on a couple of hours a week, sometimes in smaller villages only a couple of hours a month. It was all coming from a wastewater treatment plant that was breached. It was very toxic. We were told never ever to have any cold drinks with ice, never to eat any food products from vendors on the island at all, because people would and have become extremely ill from the toxic levels of the wastewater treatment plant. And yet, we would drive through some of the populated areas in Cuba, and they would have cisterns mounted on their roof. So during those rare times that this toxic water was distributed to them, they would put as much water in those rooftop cisterns to collect for the use of taking baths, just as you described. Also, we were going to some of the markets there, because people had coupons, food coupons, and they were only issued a certain amount of food per month, never enough food for a family to make it through a month. That's why there were multiple families living in homes and converging their access with their food coupons to just get enough food, just to get enough food to make it through the month. It was illegal to fish off the coast. The government controlled everything. Everything was nationalized. If it wasn't given to you by the government, you were stealing it. And Cuba is a massive prison island, and there are over 200 prisons on that island also. That is what we are becoming here in the United States. We're largely already there. With the smart grid, the electric smart grid already deployed onto most homes throughout the United States and worldwide, your power can be turned off at will. In fact, we heard recently in Los Angeles that neighbors snitched on neighbors over a large party gathering of about 10 people, a large, and the city turned off the electricity and the water because they can do that remotely now because they're also deploying smart water meters. So for those of you that are unaware that they're pummeling you with increased frequencies in your environment, start to understand the level in which these frequencies are being increased in methodologies that you have not even thought about. We've watched the deployment of the wireless smart meters here in Santa Rosa here in Northern California. These meters are in our sidewalks. And what they do is they send out frequencies that pell-mell through the city and go to a few collection sites, and that's how you get your bills. Now, again, they will turn off the water once allotments are established. And if you've overused your allotment for the month, the purpose of the health departments now that are medical tyranny and controlling your cities that work for the controllers and for vaccines and moving you off your lands, the purpose, when utilities are turned off, the health department will come in and say that your building is unsafe without electricity and or water. You must relocate to an area where you have potable water and you have access to electricity. This is called forced relocation and theft of your property. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the inability now for landlords to increase rent because there's a moratorium on rental increases, as well as a moratorium to vacate a tenant right now until the COVID health order is lifted. There will never be the lifting of the COVID health order. COVID is going to be a terror, an invisible war that we will face for life. They're telling us masks are going to be indefinite. Masks, it's going to be part of our attire when we go out. Right now, our city, as many others have already, implemented fines and penalties. If you're caught in public places or walking along the street or anywhere out of your house, if you have a snitch, there's a hotline for your neighbors to report you to the code enforcement. And you can be fined $100 for your first violation of not following the health orders by these tyrannical public health officers that work for the World Bank and those that are destroying this country and your health, and your health. So I can only say that while we're in the midst of smoke and fires, these increased massive surveillance systems are increasing massively. Road sensors we're seeing, while people are not driving and told to stay home, we're seeing a lot of road work happening right now, Yana. I don't know if you're noticing that where you are.
Yes, in Orlando.
We have a lot of road construction going on, and along with the road companies, the asphalt and road repair subcontractors, we're seeing a lot of telecommunication trucks in those areas. They're deploying sensors.
Yes.
Everywhere in the roads, everywhere.
Well, Deborah, I again, if there is anybody out there that still cannot see through this hoax of COVID and that this is just an excuse to install surveillance communism on steroids with AI, because we are going through fourth industrial revolution, which is forced on us. Okay, so please, we are asking you to open your mind, open your eyes, and educate your family members and your neighbors. It's extremely important we grasp the depth of seriousness of the situation that we are being eliminated. And it's not like they didn't tell us, Deborah. They tell us in their documents, and they told us on those guidestones in Georgia.
Yes.
Yes. And
I want to just go over a few more things in the climate emergency declarations and in those declarations that our towns and our states are going to approve. Now, these are being adopted now, and this is a worldwide adaptation to climate emergency efforts that will accelerate the policies to reduce access to all resources. And they're already saying that some of the world's biggest companies are also bringing urgency to climate action. And they tell us that in a letter to the Times of London, a swath of CEOs from a variety of industries called for businesses to make an emergency declaration and urgently redesign their entire industries and businesses using science-based targets. And they talk about the U.S. national target of reducing emissions by 26 to 28% by 2025. I'm going to read that again. The national target in the United States for reducing emissions is 26 to 28% by 2025. Now, that correlates with the Deagle.com website of reducing the population in the United States by about 84% by the year 2025, because it is the industrialized nations that are being heavily targeted to reduce emissions and move us back into a pre-industrialized time, again, of the mid-1750s. Many of the third world countries are sadly already very close to living and having lifestyles back in that time. But we're not. We're not going to survive. Most of us will not survive. And they go on to say that once a climate emergency is declared by your city, it's used as a launch pad for ambitious goals of climate policies. And some examples of this, we found out that Berkeley, California, and of course Berkeley, California, in the wake of its climate emergency declaration, they passed a historic law banning the use of natural gas in new buildings and mitigating electrification. In other words, noting that the move was driven by that declaration. And in San Jose, California, they made similar moves after its emergency declaration, in addition to a series of pledges around going to zero waste. There's no such thing as zero waste, and supporting a federal carbon tax. So some of the other aspects that we're facing while we are being distracted by weapon systems and by fake and phony elections and all of the rhetoric, again, about politics, which is just, again, the entertainment division for the New World Order. They're putting forward all these new policies that stem from their climate emergency declarations. And they talk about how cities are not preparing their businesses that will require to do things vastly different than they do now. So they're going to be telling all of our businesses to restructure everything that they've done in the past. In fact, many businesses will be eliminated through the green financing programs that will only be available for financing. Your banks, your institutions, your credit unions, your thrift and loans, everything is going to be required before loans go out and lenders loan money, that it has to meet the green financing criteria. And I talked about this when I went to London over a year ago, and thank heavens I went, because I would not be able to go there now. In fact, it was the AV10 conference, Alternative View Conference 10 in London with Ian Crane. And Ian Crane, last I heard, was battling cancer. Yes, battling cancer. And so this last AV11 conference was virtual. There's something else I want to say before I discuss further these climate action plans, because what we now see is the inability to go before your city councils. Everything is done virtually or on Zoom. And we've noted that if you want to ask a question during a Zoom conference, you have to email your question in. And we're finding that certainly you can't create the ruckus that we were able to do by going to these meetings and film 3-minute questions to the city councils and showing what we were asking. If you go to stopthecrime.net and you seek out some of the 3-minute videos, or 4 or 5 minute videos that I've done over the years in front of the city councils and the county board of supervisors and other meetings, you will see how we were telling people that were there that these people sitting before you do not represent you. If there's anything you understand, it was that. Now we can't even do that. They've formally taken away the ability to even be out there and film anything now. How convenient that all of this happened because of COVID. They've literally drawn the line under the fact that we don't have representation. I hope people see this. I hope you recognize this. But let's talk about more of what the climate emergency declarations are going to bring in and over your threshold, because they are. You're going to be required to retrofit all of your homes. I talk about that at length in other videos. I won't take time now. But they talk about how Los Angeles has taken a unique approach. It's moved to establish a dedicated climate emergency mobilization department. And that's the first department in the world as part of the citywide Green New Deal. Now, it's important to understand, this Green New Deal was never new. It was only brought forth as a political football. The Green New Deal is written in the climate action plans adopted in all cities, all states, all countries, all nations, worldwide. They're only creating it as a political football. It's already adopted. So Los Angeles Chief Sustainability Officer said that it is a big commitment, but fighting climate change needs to be a part of every policy decision, especially in something as far-reaching as the Green New Deal. So you look up your Green New Deal and what's already adopted in your town by the illusion of your elected officials, and you see what they have spelled out for you. We know. We've read thousands of climate action plans. And so what they're telling us is that they must ensure the inclusion of a green economy, and that they're making sure everyone has the ability to join the green economy and to make it a just transition within the workforce. I hope you're hearing this. They talk about how the engagement extends to the business community, and they want to make sure that they engage the business community as a partner in the process so that they can avoid the difficulties down the road that all of our businesses will face, which could include litigation as worst case scenario. There will be sadly many people that will sue. We do not have a court structure that serves us. The criminal court structure was set up to foment the advantage for the corporate structure, not for us. Mm-hmm. So we're being told the first thing that businesses and communities at large care about is certainty. So they're going to use propaganda to the extent that these types of emergency declarations can provide business communities a path so that they can plan and expand or change their businesses. Mm-hmm. So I can't underscore this enough. Behind the scenes, there are philanthropies such as Bloomberg and American Cities Climate Challenge, and how they can help cities with best practices of implementing these climate change policies that are literally, really masking the depopulation agenda. So enough of what is happening while we're fighting fires here, while we are suffering from smoke. These policies are rolling in to every single one of you. And every single one of you will find that code enforcement will be knocking on your door to force you to implement what you need to in order to meet the energy conservation requirements that your cities have already adopted for you. So, Yana, I just really want to underscore that, because while I'm sitting here in an active crime scene, with war waging all around us, and I look at my kids, I look at my grandchildren, who, by the way, Yana, came to help us get some important documents to a safe location. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, all of you that are listening, what it's like to have to consider with your home if you want to save it, because in listening to so many friends that were burned out over the past several years that didn't have time to take passports, didn't have time to get family photographs, didn't even have time to get shoes or clothing. And we've been warned, you can't get shoes. You're going to see that the supply chains are cut, and you're not going to be able to oftentimes even get shoes that you need, the right kind of shoes that maybe your podiatrist told you you need, or sole or inserts. You're not going to be able to get these things. Supply lines are being cut.
Yes.
So,
and Deborah, our sources are telling us, wow, I have a low battery, just a reminder, low battery on my phone. Our sources are reminding us that in November we are going to have our food chain severely disrupted, and not only food chain, by commodities. So, you know, we are encouraging people to buy food, buy, like you said, shoes, you know, things that you will need around your body, like hygiene and stuff, toothbrushes.
Well, we should do a program coming up on the kinds of things that we are implementing and other things that are being done to allow us to survive a little bit longer than planned.
Right.
And I just want everybody to know that we're safe right now, and I will keep you on a posted. Should that change, I'll do an emergency broadcast, Yana, with your blessing, and let people know if and how things might change here for us. But right now, the fires are still raging. It's still occurring here in Northern California and other areas throughout California, and this is the plan.
Yes.
And we're going to be finding more fires again from the Mississippi River all the way to the Pacific Ocean. And also not. Other areas throughout this country are going to be set on fire as well as massive floods. So, Yana, I just want to thank you so much for letting me share our experience and some of the policies that are continually being activated by behind the scenes and all the distractions of all this election waste of time and all of the enormity of assaults and attacks with weather weapons. So again, everybody listening, please go to stopthecrime.net. Certainly sign up and tap the bell notification so you get our information. I am sharing information also, Yana, with you, and you with myself as well. And I think this is a good combined resource, because we're sort of expanding information from the West Coast to wherever it is that
East
you are.
East Coast. Yes.
So I really appreciate that. I think and I hope that the viewers recognize the importance of this information that we're coming together and sharing with them and also with one another.
Yes, Deborah, and they do. They do recognize, they love you, and hundreds of people have been praying for you, and you can read all of their prayers are on comments on Rise of Children of God. And again, I just want to one more time remind you, Deborah's website, stopthecrime.net and primarywater.org, and I will include links so you can have easy access to her information. She does send out email blasts quite often. I mean, I'm getting them. And the way to get them, Deborah, is
just sign up on stopthecrime.net, and you will receive our email blast out too. For those of you that are hearing about this possibly for the first time, you can just go to stopthecrime.net and you'll see a section where you'll see email blasts, and you can go back and read some of these. They're important pieces of information that I oftentimes don't have an opportunity to discuss on a radio show, but they're absolutely necessary. So we're trying to pump out information in every way we can, and that's our service to humanity. And humanity, and I always like to say, love the ones you love even more, and pray, and pray.
Yes.
Yana, again, thank you.
And thank you, Deborah, very much. Thank you all for listening, and you all have a blessed night.